You're so coy, alluring, angel with a wicked smile. Sleeping 20 hours a day, never lay a paw on dusty clay. I'll keep your litter natural, no chemicals in your nostrils, just corn below, so every time you go, you'll know your shh don't stink. World's best cat litter for the world's best cat.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
I may have made a slightly catty community post about J.R. Aubrey.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm realizing how much of a diva I am. J.R. Aubrey, the 20-something-year-old e-boy, is so balanced and measured, and I'm over here in my miniature Kanye rant every other answer.
Hello, my name is Damian Haas. You may know me from the YouTube channel Smosh or voice acting for shows like My Happy Marriage or games like Fire Emblem Three Hopes. Today I am joined by two legendary video essayists, FD Signifier and Jay Aubrey. Welcome and thank you so much for being here. As a fan of video essayists in general, it's wonderful to have you here. Please feel free to introduce yourselves.
I'm a video essayist named FD Signifier. I think you got the core components there. So I tend to make videos around politics, pop culture, media, gender, and everything tends to have a black-oriented focus.
Hi, I'm Jay Aubrey. I make video essays on internet personalities, sometimes celebrities, just really whoever I feel is interesting enough to talk about.
So we have some questions from our audience today, or rather some assumptions about you two that they may have. People think that you may be afraid that your videos will not reach the right audience or like intended audience.
I think you should start with that one. Because I know when I speak on it, it's probably going to take a turn, and I don't want to put you in a position to follow that up.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I don't know. I almost feel like it's good when it reaches an audience that I wasn't intending to reach, because that means the video is actually doing kind of well, and I'm okay with that. I know who I'm trying to speak to. If it reaches a certain community that maybe I kind of knew wouldn't be very receptive to the video while I was making it, I'm not really gonna care that much. It's like when I did a video on like Andrew Tate. I know that eventually it's going to reach his community, his fans, and I'm not really gonna care as much what they have to say because I'm not really talking to them. If some of them end up changing their minds because of what I have to say, then that's even better, but that's not my ultimate goal. And at the end of the day, I'm okay with it not reaching the target audience.
For me, my essays are first for myself. When I first started, I didn't have the intention of being overly political in my content or being like an influencer. And then I got my first viral video on a Bo Burnham. And that was transformative in multiple ways. But first and foremost, financially, I saw how big a check I would get from a viral video. And I immediately became uncomfortable with the nature of what I was making, because now it's like, okay, regardless of how I feel about what I'm doing personally, then the responsible thing to do with this platform that I'm being gifted with is to be a voice around these issues. And so that didn't happen. I mean, it did, but then I just like, that was like phase one. Like, okay, now I have a crusade. I'm going to come here and do this. And I started doing that. And then I like, it was almost like a boss battle in a video game where like I defeated the first version. And it's like, all right, here's this new version of horrible things you didn't know about YouTube. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that first strategy was not like the strategy to take. What I've landed on now is still one, making the thing that I'm most interested in making. And also like, picking audiences at different times. At all times, I'm trying to make sure I'm touching, you know, the original people I made content for, which is Black people like myself, people interested in certain political views, certain political education, or certain just topics in general. But at a certain point, if you're making Black art and you're successful, you're going to grab a little bit of everyone. Sinners is the number one movie the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's not from all black people. That's from everybody who likes good.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Feel off? Tired? Moody? You might be missing minerals because 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps support energy, mood, and immunity from the inside out. Go to TraceMinerals.com and feel the difference minerals make.
That actually brings me to a great point, and thank you for sharing all of that. Some people assume you're afraid of being seen as the authority figure on a specific subject. How does that feel? Or, you know, is that something you embrace?
No.
Yeah, definitely not.
Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes. I have a confession to make.
Please.
I may have made a slightly catty community post about J. Aubrey some months back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Make sure you zoom in on this, zoom in on this. Okay.
I had been working on my Diddy video for a couple of months. And, like, as I was going through, like, the process, I'm watching everybody else's videos. And to be honest, I kind of hated everyone else's Diddy videos. And then the competitive, like, child in me was like, these videos are all going to get more views than me. I do not like this. And so, like, I made a post, and it was something along the lines of, I swear to God, if these 25-year-old Zoomers get more views on their Diddy video than I do, I'm fighting all of you in my comment section.
You know, I did see that post. I, for a second, I was like, is that about me? That might be, I'm 25 and a Zoomer and white. And so it is probably something.
I didn't think I would be having a podcast with you.
It's okay.
Within the next 12 months.
So from FT Signifier 4 months ago, no shade to all the young white Zoomers out here doing deep dives as content, but you're going to understand the difference between me and them when this Diddy video comes out. If my joint don't get more views than some 27-year-old e-boy, personal thing, such as J. Aubrey.
There it is.
Who had to Google who Craig Mack was, I'm gonna be pissed. Smiley face laughing crying emoji.
I did have to Google that. I did. You know,
I was maybe being a bit of a messy brat. I was maybe
That's
being.
Okay. It's part of the job,
I
honestly.
I'm way too old for that. But also, you know, you throw a heel promo out. When the video's coming up, like WrestleMania's coming, and here's the video out. By the way, f*** all these guys. You know what I'm saying?
I've definitely said stuff like that before where it's like, this is the definitive video on this subject.
Right.
You know, so I get that. And I didn't like take it to heart.
I hope nobody came into your comment section talking
crazy. No, I don't think
so.
I mean, I don't read the comments. That's the first thing. I can also say your video was better. So, yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
that's also
that
a part of it. You know, I won't deny that. I'm not going to try.
I do appreciate that. It's good to be recognized by your peers. I appreciate that. That's good. But so I said it to say, you know, in my Diddy, like I was there, right? Yeah. I was literally there during the Diddy times. Yeah, leave that in.
No, I watched it. It makes sense what you're saying because you go back to the very beginning of like, hey, here's his education. Here's how it leads to this. And you were like, I was enjoying a lot of the stuff or at least watching it.
Right.
So,
I was like, I know I'm going to get a lot of views on this because it's such a huge topic, but this may not be the definitive Diddy video. But then as a black creator doing black political related stuff, I hate feeling like I have to be the authority, that I'm going to be, there's the triflaze, listen to black voices, and then like, oh, that's me. And it's like, it's just me. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want that at all. I'm just making a video where I'm spending a couple of months tops, if not just a couple of weeks, researching the thing, rewriting the thing, and then making a video, versus people I know that have whole years long careers in the study of certain topics.
It's so weird to think like that I would be an authority on any of the topics that I cover, because I never go into it with that. Like you said, like I'll spend maybe a couple of weeks researching a topic to the point where I know enough about it to write a full script, speak about it confidently, and put it out there and know that 99% of it is going to be right, hopefully. I try as best I can to really put an emphasis on the people that have really put in the work and have spent years making this the thing that they have, like, focused on. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I covered RFK Jr. recently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that. I'm not a doctor. You know, I don't know much about vaccines.
Neither is
or
he.
Anything.
Is
yeah. He? Yeah. But I did try, and I made an effort to actually go and see what are the actual professionals saying. And just, I put that into the video to try and get that, because I don't want to speak on something that I don't know about, you know.
Sure.
I want to do the research and explain it in a narrative so that people can understand it. But I want people to know that I'm not the ultimate authority on anything that I talk about. I don't have a degree, you know, like I have no idea.
A lot of folks assume that you are sick of competing with AI slop channels. How do we feel about that?
I don't get that personally, because I don't
like that they exist, but I don't feel like we're in competition.
No, I don't feel, I've never felt that way. I've never felt threatened by an AI slop content farm. Yeah. I feel like I make videos for people that maybe aren't going to watch drama slop.
Sure.
Even though, yes, some of the videos that I do make engage in drama slop, I try and put enough time and effort, so, you know, into the video to make it worth somebody's time to watch 90 minutes. Maybe I don't always succeed in that. But
we all love our slop. Let's
You know, slop is okay sometimes, yeah, for sure. Just depends on the setting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Emotions are okay. Slop is okay.
Yeah, but I don't feel threatened or anything like that.
Yeah, no. There is a competitive streak in me that if I know a channel doesn't make good content and like they're getting more views than me, that might like bother me. But that's actually, especially now, that's not happening anymore. Like it shows the limitations of drama slop. Yeah. There's so many drama slop channels. Ones either by like literal AI bot systems or like sentient AI bots that have, you know, they may have a rise to prominence, but when a person engages with art, And then they are initially like inspired by the art. And then there's an intrinsic like human like need to like look behind to the artist. When a piece of art does do something to them and they look behind it and they realize there's no artist there, it innately kind of makes them feel almost like shameful and like tricked and they disengage. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens, I think, to like the AI slop channels. I think they might have a video go viral or two. You can kind of look at some of them. I just did a video a little while ago about where I touched on an AI slop black political channel. And like they might have like one or two like big videos, but everything else is a fraction of their subscriber count because they can't get people to come back.
Well, speaking of specifically being invested in videos, we have the assumption that your videos should not be watched passively as though they were a podcast.
I don't know how you feel about this. I'm okay with it. I used to not be. I used to be kind of offended when people would tell me, oh, I just listened to your videos in the background. And I'm like, well, I put a lot of effort into the visuals that kind of like you to watch it. But now it's like, well, if people are listening and they're clicking on it and they, you know, I'm okay with that. However they want to watch it now, it doesn't bother me.
I'm realizing how much of a diva I am. Jay Aubrey is like the 20-something-year-old e-boy is so balanced and measured and like congenial, and I'm over here in my miniature Kanye rant every other answer. Shit! Oh, this is a trick. This is a setup.
Jay Aubrey's like, yes, I did see the post. Welcome.
I kind of hate it. I kind of hate it.
That's fair.
I get it. If you put in enough time, you spend a lot of time on your stuff.
I spend a lot of time. Like, the visuals of my video are important. I'm performing on camera. right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a performance when I'm putting the camera on myself and going through a script. There's multiple takes to make sure that this message has this inflection at this timing, et cetera. So it's one, the effort, but the thing I think that really bothers me, actually just, it's funny, in my last video, I made a joke about this where, because I have a really nice voice I found out when I started making video essays. And so I am confident that a lot of people watch me to fall asleep. Because I know I do that to like H-Bomber Guy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know
what
I'm saying? Yeah. Shout out to H-Bomber Guy. It's not shade. That's genuinely like, that's, I've watched all the videos before and then like 55 more times over the last couple of years to fall asleep. Yeah. And so like the difference is though, people will come back to my comment section where you didn't talk about this. I'm like, I clearly did.
Yeah.
You're not paying f***ing attention because you're washing your dishes or you're cooking or
right,
you're drawing. And like, I don't, like, please click and engage with the content as much as possible.
Yeah.
But do not come to the comment section or like make response. I have discourse about something you didn't properly like respond to.
That's fair. I think that's totally fair. If you made your case and they're the ones misinterpreting it or just not listening to it, I mean, they can't blame you for that.
You know? So it's like, so pay attention. So like, I did a thing where I like, if you hear my voice, clap once. Twice. I did that in the video. I'm a former teacher. I'm like, okay, it's clearly all about paying attention.
Is researching all of this stuff emotionally exhausting? Or is it topic by topic?
I don't feel like it is because I've built up such a tolerance for some pretty, I've covered some pretty dark topics in the past. And at this point, it doesn't really affect me in the way that maybe it used to. But I've been doing this since I was 18, covering literal like predators on TikTok and talking about like what they've done and what people have alleged against them and all that. So I've been doing it for so long now that it doesn't really affect me in that way. But sometimes it does pose somewhat of a challenge when scripting because you want to be as respectful to the topic as possible while also keeping it not totally like.
You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to tracemineralz.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Feel off, tired, moody? You might be missing minerals because 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps support energy, mood, and immunity from the inside out. Go to tracemineralz.com and feel the difference minerals make.
Totally dark and depressing that people want to just click off, you know, like you want to get the information across and you want to be sensitive. All of that matters, you know, it's kind of a balancing act, but none of it really, it gets to me in the way that maybe it used 2 years ago. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, so I think it's like, if you ever talk to like doctors about like people dying, their response is not nearly what like a regular person's response is because they just go to work and multiple people die a day. Around them sometimes. And so like, I think that's similar with us is that like, if I do a video on Drake and Diddy in the same 4 or 5 month window, which I did, it's gonna kind of make me less sensitive to like the accusations around them and like the ramifications of those things because that's just my job. Plus like I came from, you know, public school education and then like child social work. So like you build up a strong layer of grit around certain topics because much like I guess a doctor, you're engaging with these things in real time.
Some folks assume that you have a lot of like more niche content that you would want to do, but you're worried it wouldn't perform well. Is that something you have to take into consideration?
I feel like now I'm at a point where I'm okay. I'm comfortable talking about topics that maybe I know aren't going to do as well because, first of all, I'm getting to a point where I'm posting more frequently so I can kind of afford to do that. And secondly, I do feel like I have kind of a baseline of subscribers who are going to watch regardless of who I talk about. I've seen so many comments over the years that say like, I know nothing about this person, but I just want to hear you talk about them.
Yeah.
So I don't try to let that hold me back too much. There are certain topics that I maybe am not going to cover because I know no one would be interested, but that's why I would probably make a second channel for that, you know, and still try to get my thoughts out in that outlet. But overall, I try not to let it hinder me too much.
My audience wants certain things from me. And I know that the algorithm rewards certain things from me, but, and I play that game, especially now since I'm trying to, like, I guess you're upping your scale and I'm trying to reduce.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, yeah.
Since I'm trying to reduce scale, that also means, like, the number has to hit when the video comes out. I also think, like, to other video essays, you do want to train your audience, for lack of a better way of putting it, to, like, just be into the thing you want to talk about as much as possible.
Have you ever had to scrap any ideas midway through?
All the time.
Oh, Lord. So I have a LGBTQ, like, conservative myths video that I interviewed multiple people for that is still kind of, like, in limbo. I had this video about how Obama low-key ruined black media that I interviewed people for that... I think the Diddy video killed it. I have multiple sports videos that I stopped trying to make because nobody watches me talk about sports.
you know, that's how I found you, by the way, was your black athletes video from a few years ago.
Are you serious?
It's true.
And I was shit talking to you on the timeline. And you're one of the few people that's watched me talk about that.
We're just speedrunning Jay Aubrey becoming your best friend.
Yes.
It's assumed you feel a sense of urgency to get a video out while the topic is still relevant.
I somewhat do. I feel like I decide on a topic maybe like 2 or 3 months after that person has maybe been involved in some controversy that made me want to cover them. So I don't run into that problem a whole lot. But if something big is happening, I'll make a note of it and I'll revisit this in a few months when I'm done working on what I'm doing right now. Like you do.
The dope thing about the video essay on YouTube specifically is that our audience is patient.
Aside
from the fact that they're willing to watch a 90-minute video, they're willing to wait 3 months while we get our shit together.
Exactly.
Versus like the commentary space or TikTokers that have to be there in the moment while it's hot. Versus, you know, like I think my Diddy video came out 6 months after he was first indicted or something like that. And my Kendrick Drake video was probably the last video to talk about the beef. Like I think that's all started in February, March, and my video didn't come out till June. And it was still a huge video for me. Mm-hmm. I also do calculate, like, okay, my Beyonce video, I got the idea for it at the end of the year when she did a performance on Netflix with the NFL. And so I'm like, okay, I should do that. And like, as I'm mapping out my videos, I'm like, oh, she goes on tour in the summer. Mm-hmm. So we'll have this ready by the summer.
Right. Yeah, you know exactly. Yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes you get lucky too. I mean, I knew that I was going to be covering George Santos for a little bit. And I started making that video in like early November, I think, of 2023. And it just so happened that even though I spent a month working on it, I ended up putting it out the exact day that he got suspended from Congress, that he got kicked out.
Oh,
so it's just the timing, I had no idea that was going to happen, and it just kind of worked out.
We have another assumption here from the audience that you are concerned with your videos being boiled down to either dunking on a certain person or a certain group.
I mean, who doesn't love a dunk contest?
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of how I started making videos at the time. It was like, this person sucks. I'm going to tell you why. You know what I mean? I just started doing that.
That was the meta. Theme bad. Shout out to Lindsay Ellis. Theme bad.
Yeah.
Right? People like that.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, negative content kind of does the best. And I still would prefer that people maybe get something more out of me just dunking on the person. But I get that that's also part of the reason why people click. And I've made peace with that. You know, I'm okay with it. I don't think that's inherently a bad thing because the person that you're dunking on could be a really shitty person. You know, and it really deserves it. So it depends.
I don't know if I have like a lot of pure dunk videos. I tend to only pick figures who I find interestingly complex in their problems. Mm-hmm. So like one of my favorite videos for like deep lore, whatever, is like my Lauryn Hill video. Mm-hmm. And so Lauryn Hill is like this cherished figure from my youth that has a lot of kind of like challenges and problems and like, it's called It's Tough Loving Lauryn Hill.
It's a totally different style depending on the person. Like I made a video on Jerry Springer. I don't intensely hate him necessarily, but I think he's a complex person with an interesting past that maybe not a lot of people know about. So I kind of wanted to shine a light on that. And so that's, you know, it's a much different process.
One challenge I'm getting to all of a sudden as I become, I just hit a million.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Is now I'm big enough to be touched by big people now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm in LA, you know, talking to people, whatever, and I'm like, oh, this person knows this person I definitely made a video about. And so, like, maybe it's good that I'm worrying about whether or not Lupe Fiasco can, like, have a conversation with me after the fact before I make a video about him.
Yeah.
But also, maybe the video where I don't care anything about his feelings is more entertaining and more honest.
Well, it might be more entertaining, but it still might make for a more substantive, more thought-out video if you consider the fact that somebody's going to respond. The person that you're talking about will see it and will possibly reach out to you, and you have to consider, we're going to talk at some point.
Right.
And so that's something that you kind of learn as you make more videos, because when I was first starting out, I would never consider that because the people I was talking about were so much bigger than me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm kind of at their same level. I recently made a video on a commentary channel called I'm Alex, and that's somebody that I figured was going to watch it because I've definitely interacted in similar spaces with him. I've interacted with him in the past. I think that just made me think more about the script and think more about my wording and kind of how I present things. All of that, it influences all of that, and I don't think it influences it for the worst, you know, because it can still be an entertaining video.
Yeah.
You're just putting that much more into it, you know.
We have some individual ones that we're going to ask. All right, so starting with you, FD, there's an assumption that your background in teaching gives you an edge in this specific field over other creators.
Definitely.
Yeah?
Like, the amount of output I can even just do, part of that is I had to do a lesson plan 5 days a week for 10 years of my life. I had to have a new lesson plan and figure out how to get a bunch of, you know, hormoned up 15-year-olds to care about William Shakespeare or George Orwell or some shit. And so, like, that leads to, like, designing a narrative like you talked about before. Then, like, going to grad school means I know how to structure an essay and I know how to write them at a quick pace. And then also being a teacher means I know how to be engaging in front of an audience, and I don't have a strong sense of fear because, like, the audience, a high school audience, that's as hostile as it gets.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of teenagers that don't really want to be, don't want to pay attention to. So how do I get them to do that? So, like, I feel like I'm more resilient, maybe. Mm-hmm. I've had, like, a real job, right? No shade to anybody that hasn't, like...
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Had a real job, but like most of my peers are in their mid-20s, and this is their first job. Whereas, like, I have had, like, annual reviews with the boss.
I filled
out TPS reports, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, like, having a negative comment or two or, you know, the weird stuff that happens, like, I'm like, well, this is the best job I've ever had. Like, I do not care. I will completely do this.
And so, Jay Aubrey, this one's for you. One of the top comments assumed that you have a huge team of researchers that help you make your video.
In the past, I would do all of it myself, and that became so time-consuming that now it just makes more sense to hire outside researchers who can really speed up that process and that are better at researching than me, that have had backgrounds in academia and research, and they're much more meticulous with how they organize information. That has helped me tremendously. I only really started doing that recently. But it's really helped speed things along in terms of production. So I'm so grateful for it. But I mean, yeah, I researching is still the part of it that I probably enjoy the most because I'll still research videos. I still like love to just kind of just jump into a topic, especially
and
if
like,
it's something,
what am I about to find?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And you find things, you know, that maybe other people never found and you get to, you know, figure out a way to present that in the script. And that part of the process is always so fun to me. So I'll probably never stop doing some of the research, but it has helped so much to, you know, offload some of that onto people who are much better at it than I am, for sure. You know.
Last one here. Any assumptions that you have had about each other or now have?
I assumed he was an e-boy. And I don't even know what that is. I just heard other people say that. I just made the assumption. I had to, you know, I was cutting a promo.
It worked for the promo. It worked. You know. I guess my assumption would be you probably enjoy posting more on your B-Sides channel than your main channel. Maybe not.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Sometimes B-Sides feels like a chore. Okay. Because nothing has happened that has driven me to, like, jump out and say, because B-Sides I write in, like, a couple of hours.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, my main videos, those are days, if not weeks of writing. I can still write them very fast, but it's still, like, I'm thinking harder about getting things together. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, literally, God willing, later today, I'm going to drop a B-Sides on Shadur Sanders that I wrote. Like, I went to the gym. What did I do? I don't know what the fuck I did. But, like, literally, I went to a kid's soccer game. Argued with some parents at the soccer game, came home, wrote the essay in like 5,000 words in like 2-3 hours.
Wow.
And so like that feels really, really good. Mm-hmm. But I can only do that when every once in a while, when something's really happening. Other times I'm like, okay, what's something I kind of want to talk about that I haven't touched on or something I need to update because I got to get these two Nebula sponsorships in a month. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And so sometimes it is, does feel like a chore. So that's true and false.
We're going to wind things down a little bit with a goofy segment. Anyone on YouTube, anyone on social media that makes videos has a specific way of doing either thumbnails or video titles. So we're going to throw out some topics on videos that have not been made. But if you were to make it, like rapid fire, what is your best title for this video?
Oh, my God.
I've gotten good at these.
I always go so overboard with titling, too. It's the same with thumbnails.
Seven kept paragraph titles, yeah.
Yeah, they're long.
Sometimes it works.
Well, then we're going to give you a bonus also if you can describe how the thumbnail works for you.
Okay.
All right, so first up, hard hitting, the Squirtle Squad from Pokemon.
I would probably do the rise, fall, and decay of the Squirtle Squad from Pokemon. The darkest trio of all time. Wow. Something like that. You
yeah.
know? Try to get as many words in there as possible, usually. Yeah.
Incredible.
How hip hop created Pokemon's most legendary trio.
There we go.
Those are awesome.
There we go. Yeah, I'd click that. You know? They would have terrifying smiles in my thumbnail.
Okay.
I would make sure that's
I see the
there.
Theme.
Yeah.
They've already got like a turtle mouth, so I think any smile by default is a little like, oh.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm doing minimalist silhouettes.
Ooh.
There you go.
Classic
it's
choice.
Like, who is that yeah. Pokemon, really? Who's that Pokemon? Next up, big topic, dead house plants.
Dead house plants.
You already used decay for the Squirtle
Squad.
That's
true.
I can't.
I got to do something. I got to use a question or
and
something.
It does not have a
what
mouth.
What am I making secret, a video about with dead
yeah,
house
exactly.
plants?
What would the approach be? I will say, when I title videos, sometimes it's the last thing I do. It's,
okay.
like, it's like the thing. It's like, oh, I got to come up with a title.
Sure.
Yeah.
Something, something, late capitalism.
Yeah,
I got to think about how I really make a video. So you have a dead house, you know, consuming. I don't know. I got something like capitalism.
Overconsumption. How overconsumption leads to dead house plants.
Wasn't this a thing with like disease? What was it? Cottage core. Wasn't that like
yeah.
a thing?
Yeah.
Cottage core.
Okay. Late capitalism to cottage core.
Horseshoe crabs.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Oh, I just got chills.
I love that. Yeah, that's
so
really good.
Picture of Drake, horseshoe crab, Kendrick Lamar's. 1 million views.
There you go. That's all you need.
Incredible.
That's all you need. Yeah, I would probably do so. More, you know, alliteration, something to do with the horrors, the horrific history of horseshoe crabs.
Okay.
I like to use alliteration as much as I can, you know, and... Yeah.
That actually does sound interesting, though. Like, no, I think,
really?
Yeah.
Because, like, horseshoe crabs are, like, aren't they some of the oldest?
They are. They've been horseshoe crabs for a long time.
I think
Cretaceous period, but if I'm wrong, edit it out so I don't seem dumb.
Yeah. Yes.
Joel from The Last of Us.
Oh.
See, I have not seen the new season. I've only seen season one. I've never played the game.
Oh, man.
And I'm in the middle ground between you two. I've seen the first season and played some of the game. So I'm in good company.
So this is like layup for me. Something about fatherhood. Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Fatherhood's not for the weak.
Oh, that's very, yeah.
And all we need is Joel's face looking at the camera. Because Joel has an evocative, grizzled face that's seen a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm getting emotional thinking about it because, like, I know what a father's face looks like in that moment where you're, like, whether it's fighting a zombie to save your daughter or changing a diaper where a kid has shitted up their own back. Like, that is a 1,000 yards.
I think is the phrase.
Sorry.
I heard that from some stand up. I heard it from a stand up one time. So, sorry. Not mine. Not mine.
Yeah, there's a 1,000-yard stand that you can get that the audience will, like, oh, man, this is about to get serious about The Last of Us.
I love that. Yeah, I would probably just do something like the Joel Miller you didn't know and then have a very cryptic thumbnail where half of his face is normal and he's smiling and the other half is like black and white and he's very depressed looking. He looks like he's kind of been through it.
Nice.
And it's 4 hours long.
Just a zombie apocalypse.
The idea of not showing prices on menus.
It's a tough one because I don't normally cover things. I cover people, you know, so it's like I would have to find the person responsible, you know, finding the person responsible for what was it?
not showing prices on menus.
Hidden prices on menus.
Hidden is a provocative term.
The hidden cost story of late capitalism. Just like the title of the food and then it says market price.
The term unk.
Oh. Oh, man.
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts about this.
Yeah,
so first off, there's a picture of me. And it's kind of like, am I your unk for real, though? It's probably
that's
the
good. I really...
I had to, like, come to understand and appreciate that title and all the context I was hearing it. But initially it was like, there's a history here. I don't know if you guys are aware of.
Yeah.
That I'm going to let slide because I feel like this is affectionate, just you guys trying to show love. Yeah.
Gen Z's like, I'll take that.
Right. Well, I think for that reason, I'll probably pass on this one. I think you summed it up pretty good.
We maybe can make you frown or smile. We'll see.
It's a very the thumbnail's a very stern look like.
Yeah.
Finally, the YouTube channel, Smosh.
Oh, I've done a video on Smosh.
Have you?
Yes. Yes.
I'm too old to know what Smosh is.
Nice.
Which is true. I was like, who was I talking to? I was like, I'm going to the Smosh podcast. And they're like, oh, wow. This is a bigger deal than I realized. I was like, this is just a cool reason to go to LA and hang out with Hassan at least once and talk to some people. But yeah, so that's all I got. It's probably me looking puzzled into the camera, one of these.
Love it.
Classic. What's the Mr. Beast?
Mr.
Beast is into the camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, the first time when I did cover Smosh, it was crazy because I remember Anthony just happened to follow me around that same time.
Oh, nice.
And I DM'd him. I was like, I'm making a video on Smosh. He's like, great. Yeah. But so it was more of tracing the history of the company and everything. But I mean, you guys have been so great. I would probably title it something like The Beautiful Generosity of Smosh, you know? Have you guys in the thumbnail.
Okay. I believe J. Aubrey Whitney. No, I'm kidding. Y'all, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for joining, and we'll see you next time.
First off, a lot of people hate us. So, like, I don't want to make it seem like this is the only good thing on YouTube. A lot of people hate the stuff we make. Yeah, it's hilarious. And it's like a passionate, like very explicit hate about how we exist.
Oh, yeah.
Who's watching this video that's an hour long?
People get
like, my favorite thing for y'all, motherfuckers. Let me catty again. It's like when somebody will post like a screen grab of your video in the timeline, and it's like, who's watching all this? And it literally says like 800,000 views.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right?
It's like, asshole, clearly 800,000 people are watching this, not you.
Exactly, yeah.